الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين یعنی گزشتہ کل 20 فروری کا دن گزرا ہے. یہ دن جماعت میں
Yesterday it was the 20th of February. It is a day which holds great significance in light of the prophecy of Muslih Ma'ud, the promised son. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, had foretold the prophecy of a son being born to him. This son would be pious, righteous, pure, and would possess numerous qualities and characteristics. In the last Friday's sermon, I spoke with reference to the signs of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Today also, I deemed it appropriate that as this Friday has approached just near to the 20th of February, so thus I should speak on this prophecy. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, had deemed this to be a glorious and splendid prophecy. In response to the criticisms of some critics, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, had elucidated that you may level these criticisms. However, this is beyond human capacity and power for a prophecy to have been made in this manner. The prophecy not only entails a mere son being born, but a son with such qualities and characteristics would be a son who would live to an elderly age, and he will be born during his lifetime. The promised Messiah on whom be peace said, if one were to study this prophecy with deep insight and with justice and fairness, then there can be no doubt whatsoever in this being a heavenly sign. The promised Messiah on whom be peace addressed the critics saying, if you have any doubts and misgivings, then present yourself any such prophecy containing signs of this manner. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, went on to say, one needs to open his eyes. This is not a mere prophecy. Rather, this is a splendid and glorious sign from the heavens. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam's objective was to prove the truthfulness of Islam and to prove the superiority and greatness of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam before the world. Here, by presenting this by way of a sign, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, does not say that this proves his own truthfulness. Rather, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has said that the noble and exalted God has presented this sign in order to prove the truthfulness and greatness of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the chosen one and the noble. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says further, this sign is in fact hundreds of times superior and stronger and majestic and glorious than the sign of bringing a dead person back to life. Explaining this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, bringing a dead person back to life only entails recalling a spirit for a short period of time, as has been mentioned in the Bible regarding Jesus, peace be upon him, or some other prophets, although criticisms have been raised against this also. Even if we were to accept that dead people were brought back to life, this could not bring any benefit to the world. Here, however, with the grace and favour of Allah the Exalted and the blessings of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seal of all the prophets, has accepted the prayer of this humble one and has promised to send such a blessed soul whose apparent and hidden blessings will disseminate and spread all over the earth. The promised Messiah on whom be peace says, O people, what am I and what significance or status do I have? Whoever attacks me is in fact attacking my pious and holy leader, the holy and noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a person should bear in mind that he cannot throw dust upon the sun. In fact, the same dust that he throws would fall upon his own head, his own eyes, his own mouth, and would disgrace and humiliate him. Our noble Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's splendor would not diminish through his enmity and malice. Rather, Allah the Almighty would manifest it to an even greater degree. Can you prevent the sun from rising at dawn? Similarly, you cannot cause any harm or damage to the sun of truthfulness of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah the Almighty remove your malice, spite, and miserliness. There were also some Muslims alongside the non-Muslims who made these criticisms, and to whom the promised Messiah alayhi salam leveled this challenge and warning. Nonetheless, as we are aware, in accordance with this prophecy, in March 1889, that promised son was born. To establish the superiority of Islam and the splendor and glory of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went on to accomplish those great achievements which will be remembered until the end of time. These were also acknowledged and appreciated by even the non-Ahmadis. Before I go on to speak about some of the achievements of Hazrat Musleh Maud, I feel it necessary to present the words of the prophecy, so that by repeatedly this being presented before us, we can come to know of its greatness and splendor, and also its reality. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, wrote himself on 20th February 1886, an article in the book Siraj-e-Munir, which was called The Sign of Allah the Almighty. In the newspaper Riyaz-e-Hind, Amritsar, on 1st March 1886, this was published as a supplement. In this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam wrote, "In these various types of prophecies, which inshallah, God willing, will be mentioned and explained in detail in this book, the very first prophecy, which is related to myself, today, on 20th February 1886, which corresponds to 15 Jamaatiyah level. As it says in brief, I mention certain words by way of example. And the full details will be published in that book, inshallah, God willing. The first prophecy from God the Merciful, the Noble, and Magnificent, and High, the Mercy, the Great, who has power to do all that He wills. Glory be to Him and exalted be His name. Address me in a revelation and said, I confer upon thee a sign of my mercy according to thy supplications. I have heard thy entreaties and have honored thy prayers with my acceptance through my mercy, and have blessed thy journey, which was a journey of Hoshiarpur and Ludhiana, a sign of power, mercy, nearness to me is bestowed on thee. A sign of grace and beneficence is awarded to thee, and thou art granted the key of success and victory. Peace on thee, O victorious one. Thus does God speak, so that those who desire life may be rescued from the grip of death, and those who are buried in the graves may emerge therefrom, and so that the superiority of Islam and the dignity of God's word may become manifest unto the people, and so that the truth may arrive with all its blessings and falsehood may depart with all its ills, so that people may understand that I am the Lord of power, I do whatever I will, and so that they may believe that I am with thee, so that those who do not believe in God and deny and reject his religion and his book and his holy messenger Muhammad, the chosen one, may be confronted with a clear sign, and the way of the guilty ones may become manifest. Rejoice, therefore, that a handsome and pure boy will be bestowed on thee. Thou wilt receive a bright youth, who will be of thy seed and will be of thy progeny. Hazur says that here Allah the Almighty has removed all potential ambiguity that the son would not be born to any later progeny or family, but rather he would be the promised Messiah's own son. So the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, continued, a handsome and pure boy will come as your guest. Hazur says, in Anjami Atam, the full prophecy which is written in Arabic there, a manual has been written. So the actual word is Emmanuel. In any case, the promised Messiah then says, his name is Emmanuel and Bashir. He has been invested with a Holy Spirit. He will be free from all impurity. He is the light of Allah. Blessed is he who comes from heaven. He shall be accompanied by grace, which shall arrive with him. He will be characterized with grandeur, greatness, and wealth. He will come into the world and will heal many of their disorder through his messianic qualities and through the blessings of the Holy Spirit. He is the word of Allah, for Allah's mercy and honor have equipped him with the word of majesty. He will be extremely intelligent and understanding. He will be meek of heart and will be filled with secular and spiritual knowledge. He will convert three into four. It is Monday, a blessed Monday. Sun, delight of heart, high-ranking, noble, a manifestation of the first and the last, a manifestation of the true and the high, as if Allah has descended from heaven. His advent will be greatly blessed and will be a source of manifestation of divine majesty. Behold, a light cometh, a light anointed by God with the perfume of His pleasure. We shall pour our spirit into Him, and He will be sheltered under the shadow of God. He will grow rapidly in stature and will be the means of procuring the release of those held in bondage. His fame will spread to the ends of the earth and peoples will be blessed through him. He will then be raised to his spiritual station in heaven. This is a matter decreed. So thus, as I mentioned, these were those qualities that were prophesied to be possessed by that son. The world witnessed the son being born. And after remaining in the mantle of Khilafat for a 52-year period, the world became convinced of him being a testimony to all these great qualities, and then he departed this world. If we ponder on these qualities and characteristics in detail, and if we appraise the life of Hazrat Musleh Mahmood, Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmood Ahmad, may Allah be pleased with him, then many books would have to be written. It is impossible to encompass all of the life and achievements of Hazrat Musleh Mahmood in some sermons or speeches. In this respect, every year the Jamaat commemorates the Musleh Mahmood Day on 20th February. Various speakers and scholars, in accordance with their knowledge and insight, speak on this topic. I also have regularly spoken on this discourse. Hadrat Khalif Tomasi III and Hadrat Khalif Tomasi IV have respectively also spoken on this issue. Yet it cannot be said that Hazrat Musleh Mahmood's life or the prophecy has been covered entirely, or that everyone has come to understand it. In any case, today I will say some things with respect to this prophecy and the life of Hazrat Musleh Mahmood. Rather, not about the prophecy, but only one or two aspects of this prophecy. Further, the manner in which the spiritual insight and knowledge had an impact upon people of the Jamaat as well as non-Ahmadis. Before this, I would like to present an overview of these speeches, discourses, books and lectures of Hazrat Musleh Mahmood. At that time, there was no proper arrangement for recording all of this. So some of his speeches are complete, which was written by transcribers who would record it sometimes there and then. But at times, they could not be written in full. Nonetheless, the books, lectures and speeches of Hazrat Musleh Maud have been compiled in a volume called Anwarul Uloom, being published by the Fazl-e-Umar Foundation. At present, 24 volumes of this work have been published. This covers in total 633 lectures, speeches and books. According to the foundation, in total 32 volumes will be published. And there will be approximately 850 lecture, speeches and books in this 32 volume collection at the end. I mentioned that 24 volumes have been published till now. So volumes 25 to 29 have been prepared but have not yet been published, which include 163 books, lectures and speeches. Thereafter, there will remain only 3 volumes that need to be published. So there will be over approximately 800 books, lectures and speeches within these. There are also his speeches at the occasions of the Friday sermon, Eden and Nikah. According to the list that has been presented, these consist of 2,076. At present, 28 volumes of Khutbat-e-Mahmood have been published, consisting of 1,602 sermons. The sermons from 1948 to 1959 will be published from volumes 29 to 39. These will include a further 500 sermons. So this is just a mere brief outline and sketch of his intellectual works. If you were to look and read every lecture, every speech and every discourse, then we find such pearls of wisdom, knowledge and spiritual treasure that leaves one completely astonished. Once Hadrat Khalif Domasi III, may Allah be pleased with him, provided the following analysis. He said, if we were to take just one aspect of the prophecy, that he will be filled with secular and spiritual knowledge, this is so wide-ranging in scope that we cannot encompass it however much we speak on it. In this respect, Hazrat Khalif Domasi III said, in this light, there is one of the books of Hazrat Musleh Maud, Tafsir Kabir. This is such an astonishing commentary that any person who has read a part of it would be compelled to acknowledge that if there was a holy person born in the world who had only published part of such commentary of the Holy Quran with detailed notes, it would have been sufficient for him to be acknowledged as a holy person from amongst the holiest persons in the world. This is not all Hazrat Musleh Maud did. He wrote a lot of other things on the Holy Quran. According to my view, just on the commentary of the Holy Quran, Hazrat Musleh Maud has written 8,000 to 10,000 pages. At present, there is a 10-volume set of Tafsir-e-Kabir, which consists of approximately 6,000 pages. Then there are also other notes of the surahs, and then also in his other speeches, he covers the commentaries. On the topic of Kalam, Hazrat Khalif Domasi II has written 10 books and articles. This is in accordance with the view of Hazrat Khalif Domasi III at the time. In the 10 volumes of Tafsir-e-Kabir, they cover Surah Al-Fatiha, the Surah Al-Baqarah, that is the first two surahs, then from Surah Yunus to Surah An-Kabut, that is from the 10th to 29th surah. Then in between, commentaries were not made. Then from Surah An-Naba to Surah An-Nas. Thus, approximately 59 verses had commentaries written on by Hazrat Musleh Maud. This commentary consists of approximately 6,000 pages. At the time, it was written in very small font. If it was written in accordance with the font today, it may go up to 10,000 to 12,000 pages. In any case, it is being reprinted and will be available to the public soon, inshallah. In total, there are 114 surahs of the Holy Quran. So 55 surahs have not been included in the commentary. Then on Kalam, there are 10 books and articles. On spirituality, Islamic beliefs and creed, there were 31 books and articles that he wrote. On the life of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wrote 13 books and articles, 4 books and articles on history, 3 books and articles on fiqh, jurisprudence, 25 books and articles on the politics of pre-partition India, and 9 books and articles on the post-partition politics and establishment of Pakistan. He wrote 15 books and articles on the political situation of Kashmir. Then, specifically on the topic of the history of Ahmadiyyat, he wrote approximately 100 books and articles. There are a huge number of other articles. As I said, that this would go above 800. Hadrat Khalifa Tomasi III says, as has been said in the prophecy, he will be filled with secular and spiritual knowledge. Glance over this, and we see the secular as well as spiritual knowledge. And the amazing and delightful thing and the beauty of this is that each time he wrote a book or article, everyone says that no one could write better than this. Whenever he took a leading role in politics or ever gave any advice or counsel in politics, even the greatest opponents compelled his matchless and peerless ability. In short, the aspect of that he will be filled with secular and spiritual knowledge is extremely in-depth and detailed. We cannot even reach its thousandth part. As Hadrat Khalifa Tomasi III said, if we just look at the commentary of Hadrat Muslima, that alone is enough to make exalted the status of Hadrat Muslima. Most certainly, the commentary has provided a new means of understanding the Holy Quran and has unlocked the key to the mysteries of the deep insights of spiritual and secular knowledge of the Holy Quran. That will always remain a part and share of Hadrat Muslima's commentary. At this time, I shall present some of the comments made by non-Ahmadis with respect to his commentary. Allama Niyaz Fati Puri Sahib wrote in one of his letters to Hadrat Muslima, Tafsir-e-Kabir, Volume 2 was before me today. Now this person was not an Ahmadi. So he writes that I am studying it with great minute detail. There is no doubt in it that in the study of the Holy Quran, this provides an entirely new perspective. This commentary is the first of its type. Rationality, reasoning and argumentation has been presented with great excellence and harmony. His deep knowledge, his deep insight, his extraordinary manner of thinking and eloquence, his excellent means of argumentation and reasoning is evident from every word of this commentary. I am sad why I was unfamiliar with this commentary until now. If only I could study all the volumes of this commentary. Yesterday, reading the commentary of Surah Hud, I came to know his thoughts on the Prophet Lot. My heart shuddered, and I was compelled to write that when you wrote on Ha'ula ibn Ati, writing the commentary on it, the perspective you have exhibited in comparison to other commentators, it is impossible for me to fully appreciate and praise this. May Allah the Almighty grant you a long life. He gave this prayer. Then the same Allama Niyaz Fatah Puri Sahib in another letter wrote, I studied Tafsir-e-Kabir, the commentary. I read it constantly and consistently at nights. How did I rate it? This requires a great amount of detail. However, in brief words, it can be understood that in my view, this is the very first type of his commentary in Urdu, which to a large degree can satisfy the human mind. There is no doubt that your movement has committed this service to Islam, which is so great and phenomenal that even your opponents cannot deny this fact. Akhtar Sahib, who is MS in the Department of Urdu of Patna University, regarding the commentary of Professor Abdul Manan Bedil, former head of the Department of Persian of Patna College. He presents one of his eyewitness accounts. One after the other, I sent volumes of Tafsir Kabir, the volume of Hadrat Musleh Maud, to Professor Abdul Manan, former head of the Department of Persian, Patna College, and Hall Principal Shakina College. After reading these commentaries, they became so impacted that the Madrasa Arabiya Shamsul Huda, Patna, sent it to the academics of this to read. One day, they summoned some of the academics and inquired their opinions from them. One sheikh says that such a commentary is not found amongst the Persian commentary. Professor Abdul Manan says that, what is your view in comparison to the Arabic commentaries? These scholars kept quiet. Some time later, one of them said that all of the Arab commentaries cannot be found in Patna. Only after studying all the commentaries from Egypt and Syria can a correct viewpoint or opinion be formulated. The professor started mentioning all the old commentaries in Arabic. He said that we do not find an equal caliber in any language to Mirza Mahmud's commentary. You can order all the commentaries from Egypt and Syria and speak to me after some months. All these scholars remained wonderstruck. Then Sayyid Jafar Hussain Sahib, the advocate, which he also sent to one of the newspapers, Sidq-e Jadid, in which he wrote to the editor of this newspaper, in search of the Darussalam, when I was imprisoned, 3 days later, I was sent the reasons for my imprisonment in writing. They had submitted extracts from my speeches for the last 3 or 4 years. The allegation leveled was that I wanted to replace the government of India with an Islamic government. I was astonished that someone so humble as me with such a large allegation against me. But I slowly came to realize that such a meaning could be deciphered from my speeches. I said that I was a lost traveler. I had a set destination, but I did not know the path to it. Whether it is the Anjuman Ittihadul Muslimin or some other community, this is the condition of all of them. 2 days later, I started studying Tafsir Kabir. One of his friends had given it to him in the jail, who had taken it with him. By reading this commentary, I found a living Islam. Now, this person was not an Ahmadi, but he continues, I found everything that I was in search for. After reading Tafsir Kabir, I became enlightened with the Holy Quran for the first time. To leave my own community and to enter the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, which all the ulama, the scholars, had made to look at something abhorrent, was not a trivial thing. But after truth had become evident, there was no concern for any danger. So I fell down in prostration night and day, and prayed that, O Allah, show me the right path. For many months I spent in this state. I say to you truly that the place of my prostration was filled with tears. I am certain that my prayers were accepted, because in the belief to accept Ahmadiyyat, I became steadfast. Through a letter, I requested Hazrat Mia Wasim Sahib in Qadian that I desire to take the bet, the initiation. He says, a large part of my imprisonment was spent in Secunderabad jail. There, the jailer was an educated Muslim and was well aware of all the correspondences of the inmates, because only after his approval do the letters get sent out. Although it was not something good, but due to a lack of courage, I would try that when I was writing to Guardian, it should not come into the knowledge of the jailer. The Majlis Ittihadul Muslimin of Hyderabad is a very powerful community. This is of Hyderabad, India. The jail staff and all other inmates would treat me with great love and respect and friendship. That is as a result of this organization he belonged to. So he says that although no one apart from the prison guards could meet me, without the knowledge of the jailer, my letters would be posted to Qadian. However, the letters that would be sent from Qadian to the jail would be most necessary have to come into the knowledge of the jailer. When the bed form came from Qadian, it caused a lot of havoc in the jail and the secret could no longer remain intact. He said, finally, the Jaina came to me, and he came with the letter and the bed form to me. He spoke to me very sympathetically, that what are you doing? Leave this commentary of the Holy Quran, and instead, I will give you commentaries by Abdul Kalam Azad and Mulana Mududi. And your viewpoints would be rectified. So then he brought both those commentaries, which in fact were just translations and just commentaries here or there. Before I filled the bed form and sent it, I studied both these commentaries. A person studying the Tafsir-e-Kabir becomes so competent that he can critically review all other commentaries. Thus, I said to the jailer that in both these commentaries, in which places they were obscure, where there are mistakes in the translation, and where the meanings are limited or unfulfilled. It was easy for me to do this, because Tafsir-e-Kabir also includes the lexiconic explanations of the Holy Quranic terms. La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. None shall touch the Holy Quran except those who are purified. He says, I have mentioned all these details, so this allegation can be dispelled upon me, that I delay taking the bed. I read the commentaries of non-Ahmadis, then I read Tafsir-e-Kabir, and I compared them and understood the truth. He says, I sent the bed form and I remain engaged in prayers, whether the bed will be accepted or not. He says that my fear did not prove wrong. Before accepting my bed, Hazur, Hadhrat Muslim Maud, inquired, it is a responsibility of an Ahmadi to be loyal to his commentary, and he should act only within the confines of the law. I replied that the commentary of Hazur has infused all of this in my heart. A few days later, when I learned from Guardian that my bed had been accepted, then I fell down in prostration. He says that I read in one place, in Tafsir-e-Kabir, that the Khalifa, who will be a Muslim Oud, will be the means of procuring the release of those held in bondage. So I requested Hadhrat Muslim Oud, when I was yet in jail, that he should pray for my release. Hazur Hadhrat Muslim Oud prayed, then may Allah the Almighty provide the means for your release. Just a few days after, I was released. I am living proof of this part of the prophecy, that he will be a means of procuring the release of those held in bondage. There are various Western scholars of Europe and America, and I'll present one example. There is A.J. Arbery. He is a British Orientalist, a scholar of Arabic, Persian, and Islamic studies. He says that this new commentary and detail of the Holy Quran is referring to the 5-volume English commentary. The current volume is the first stage of this achievement. Some 15 years ago, the Jamaat Ahmadiyya scholars of Qadian started this amazing work. This work was carried out under the encouraging auspices of Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad. The work was of towering nature, that is, to produce such an edition of the Quran with extremely accurate and corresponding translation in English. And with this English translation should be a commentary on every verse. The first volume, which is published at this time, consists of the first 9 surahs of the Holy Quran. There is a detailed introduction written by Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad himself. In this introduction, His Holiness has says that whatever has been written in this commentary is a representation of those spiritual knowledge that the founder of the Ahmadiyya community has explained in his books and statements, and the knowledge that was later expressed by the first Khalifa or by himself, the second Khalifa. Therefore, we can say that this translation and commentary represents the Quranic perception as outlined by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. In fact, there are other people as well, even amongst the Arabs. From Syria, there is a Dr. Anas. In search of the truth and light, I read the books and commentaries of various scholars. This includes Sultan al-Arifin, Hazrat Mohiuddin ibn Arabi, and Dr. Muhammad ibn Hatimi, and also other commentaries. However, I did not find that pleasure, that delight, and that quality and excellence that is found in the commentary written by Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmed. I was searching for commentaries that my body and soul had experienced, and I was looking for certain commentaries. Then I came across the Sira Kabir on the Jamaat website. There I found the light and truth which encapsulated my heart. Then there is a Jamal Sahib from Morocco. He would enjoy a long series of exchange of letters with Khalif Dumasi IV. He says that during this time of writing these letters, I received a gift of Volume 1 of the Sira Kabir, the translation of it, from the Markaz. When I read this commentary and compared it with other various commentaries, I found huge differences. I found in-depth explanations of various knowledges and wisdom, and also the summary of the core of the Sharia, whereas other commentaries were satisfied with mere shells, or scratching on the surface. Studying this commentary painted such a beautiful picture of Islam in my heart, which penetrated my very soul. Then the lectures of Hadhrat Muslim Maud had deep impact upon other non-Ahmadis. This they acknowledged. Hadhrat Muslim Maud delivered two lectures on the request of the Punjab Literary League. The leader was associated with Punjab University. The first lecture in accordance with this was the status of the Arabic language amongst the languages of the world. This was delivered on 31st May 1934 at the YMCA Hall, which was on Mall Road in Lahore. This was presided over by Dr. Barkat Ali Qureshi, MA PhD, Principal Islamia College. The lecture remained for 1.5 hours. The audience listened with rapt attention. At the conclusion, the Dr. Qureshi thanked Hadhrat Muslim Maud and advised all the audience to benefit from the address. He expressed the desire to listen to such academic topics in the future. Amongst the audience were people of every intellectual domination. Lala Qamar Singh Sahib, former Chief Justice of Kashmir, after the speech of Hazrat Muslim Maud and also the president of the session, expressed his sentiments of gratitude in a speech in English. He says, "Today the very able and competent lecturer provided a masterful and expert and interesting speech, which I am delighted to hear and happy. When coming to listening to this speech, I was thinking that the speech would be delivered in a manner that people of old traditionally do. How do such people present it normally?" He says, "It is a well-known fact that once an Arab was asked to explain the reason why Arabic is the best language. The Arab responded that there are three reasons why Arabic is the best language. The first, he says, that because I live in Arabia. Second, because Arabic is the language of the Holy Quran. And third, is because in paradise Arabic will be spoken. I thought that this would be a similar discourse to explain the superiority of Arabic. However, the actual lecture was extremely academic, scholarly, and philosophical in its magnitude. I would like to say with certainty to Mirza Sahib that I listened to every single word of his lecture with great attention and rapt focus. I benefited hugely, and I hope that the impact and effect of this lecture will be long-lasting." Then Sayyid Abdul Qadir Sahib, MA, Vice Principal of Islamia College, Lahore, his views are as follows. He was the head of the Department of History. Islam and Communism was a subject of an article he wrote in the newspaper Sunrise Lahore. He says that the economic system of Islam and communism, which was a lecture by Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmood Ahmad Sahib, the Imam of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. I had the honor of listening to this. Like the other lectures, which I also had the opportunity to listen to, Burnish academic thoughts and were filled with knowledge and information. Mirza Sahib possessed God-given capabilities. He had complete proficiency and competency on every aspect of this subject. For this reason, his thoughts and viewpoints deserve and are worthy to be respected and to be pondered on. Hazuru says there is a need to disseminate this book in the outside world. Normally, it is thought that the concept of the Islamic economic system was first presented by Maududi Sahib. But well before this, Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, gave this incredible and knowledge-filled lecture. This book has now been translated into English. English-speaking Ahmadi should read this, and those who have an interest in economics should also be given this book. Lala Ramjan Machinda, who presided over the event. He said that, "I consider myself extremely fortunate to listen to such an invaluable speech. I am extremely delighted that the Jamaat movement is progressing prominently. The lecture which you have just heard contains extremely priceless and new aspects. I benefited to great avail." Then he says, "It was an error on my part that I thought that Islam in its law only cares for Muslims and does not care for non-Muslims. However, today, the Imam Ahmadiyya Jamaat, through his lecture, has explained that Islam teaches equality for all. I was extremely delighted to hear this. I will explain to my non-Muslim friends what excuse did they have in not respecting such a kind of Islam. I would like to repeatedly and immensely thank the Imam of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat that he benefited us with his extremely knowledgeable speech." Hazur says that this is just a glimpse of just one aspect, that he will be filled with secular and spiritual knowledge contained in the prophecy. May Allah the Almighty enable us to study the huge treasure of knowledge of Hazrat Musleh Maud, as has been given to us, and just as that has been explained, he covered a huge and varying range of different subjects and topics. May Allah the Almighty enable all of us to benefit from them. May we increase our knowledge and spiritual insight. At this time, I will also lead a funeral prayer after the Friday prayers. It is of one of the sons of Hazrat Musleh Maud. He was born to Hazrat Sara Begum Sahiba, who was from Bihar. His name was Sahibzada Mirza Hanif Sahib. He passed away on 17th February at 9 o'clock at Dakhir Heart Institute in Rabwah at the age of 82. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was my maternal uncle. He was born on 14th March 1932. Hazrat Musleh Maud, like all his other sons, dedicated his life in childhood. And thus his education was in accordance with this waqf. He received his religious education from Madrasa Ahmadiyya and Jamia Ahmadiyya Qadian. He passed his matriculation examination privately, and then he gained further education. He attained LLB with a condition that he would not practice. In 1962, he went abroad to serve the Ahmadiyya community, and he served as principal of the secondary school in Sierra Leone until 1969. He was an extremely scholarly and knowledgeable person. After 20 years of hard endeavor, he compiled a book containing the promised Messiah alayhi salam's valuable pronouncements and poetic verses in Urdu, Persian, and Arabic, and also his revelations. The book was titled The Promised Messiah Alayhi Salaam's Education with Respect to the Deep Insights of the Holy Quran. This is an excellent and knowledge-filled book. It was published in 2004. He had another book published which consisted The Promised Messiah alayhi salam's Urdu, Persian and Arabic poetry called Adab-e-Masi. He was married in 1959 to the daughter of Zainul Abidin Waliullah Shah Sahib, who is the maternal uncle of Hadrat Khalifatul Masih IV, Tahira Begum Sahiba. They had four children, Mirza Salman Ahmed, who is in America, and three daughters, Amtul Momin Hina. Khalid Taslim Ahmed is a doctor in Rabwa, is her husband. There is Mina Mubarika, who is the wife of Ms. Asan, and Amtul Sami, the wife of Farooq Ahmed Khan. His wife relates that in the entire time living in Sierra Leone, he had the first ever science block built in an Ahmadi school in the Bow City. So he says, with great attention and supervision, he would have this block constructed. Qamar Suleiman Sahib went on a tour there and says, the people of Sierra Leone still greatly remember Sahib Zada Sahib. He would take care for the upbringing of the orphans and would help them in private and secretly. He cared greatly for his friends, and he would always value his friendship and fulfill them. When one of his close friends passed away, he always looked after his family if they had young children and arranged for the marriages. And in this way, he greatly fulfilled the rights of the friendship. Amongst the children of Hadhrat Musleh Mahmood, he had the greatest proficiency in the Persian language. He knew it very well. He was very well read in the terms of the books of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. It is for this reason that he read this book Fahim al-Talim al-Quran. If he did not have good knowledge and grounding in the Promised Messiah's books, he could not have written this. His wife says that he told her himself that some or perhaps all the books of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam he had read 20 or 25 times. He had extraordinary love for Qadian. In spite of bad health for a few years, despite this he would regularly go for the Qadian Jalsa. He had huge belief in prayer. His daughter says that once he related an account of a companion. He saw in a dream that his rank was continuously being elevated. So then he thinks that I have not performed any such actions to warrant this. Upon this, he was told that you have left behind a pious progeny. They are regularly praying for you. And thus, through this, every day, your rank increases. So thus, he would constantly counsel his children to pray for him regularly. May Allah the Almighty enable his children to remain on goodness and virtues. Hadhrat Musleh Mahmood prayed for his progeny and for his jamaat and the manner in which he wished them to become. May they fulfill that. May they testify to this, and may the remaining khandan of the Promised Messiah, the family of the Promised Messiah, and the entire jamaat also live up to this. Hadhrat Musleh Mahmood said, may their children and the children of their children eternally be in your trust, which Satan cannot breach. May they be those who give precedence to the faith over worldly matters. May Allah the Almighty have mercy and forgiveness on Sahib Zada Mirza Hanif Ahmed Sahib. May he constantly elevate his status and rank. May his children truly fulfill the right and dues and do justice of being in the bloodline that they are associated with. Mirza Hanif Sahib had a deep and great relationship and connection with me. This was even before Khilafat, and after Khilafat, this relationship of love greatly increased. However, this included humility, loyalty, dedication to extraordinary levels. May Allah the Almighty continuously elevate his rank and status. And may Allah the Almighty enable his children to maintain a special bond with Khilafat.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.